It's a great honor to have the Teen Challenge folks join us.
Slideshow.
How many have been involved with Teen Challenge one way or another? You've heard a presentation, you sponsor somebody?
From the beginning.
Yeah, it's always a good story to hear from these folks. I've been involved with some young men who recovered through the program. And we've had guests in the previous churches that I've been involved with.
Close again.
It's just a great pleasure to have them with us. Going to take a minute to get his slides to work there. Hopefully it's going to work.
And then all you're going to do is I'm going to say next slide. And you're going to click on that slide. See how you put the button? No, you're going to just go.
Yeah.
There's these two. Okay? Okay, cool.
Yep. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Whenever you're ready, you can get it on the first one there. On, and they say your name, is that right?
Here's the bodies.
It's Derek's presentation, but not Bill Clark. That cricket really does add his eyes. Cricket A is like, oh boy, here we go.
How do you get to go to the next?
I mean, if we can't get it, it's okay, guys. I can do it. Well, I'll do my morning thing. So, hello and thank you. Chesley, not to be confused with Chelsea. Someone else said Chelsea, and I was saying it at first, and then I was like, corrected right away. It's Chesley? Is that correct? Okay. Chesley, oh my God. She's going to be called community district. Oh, excellent. So thank you, Pastor Church family, for hosting us today. My name is Derek. I'm one of the national intake coordinators for Teen Challenge Canada. And the team and I look forward to the special morning we have planned together because one of the great things we get to do today is to celebrate change lives. So we met here today is Victor and Clarence. Clarence will be doing his testimony. Victor's just his first run, so he's just coming for the free food. And you can talk to him after as well. So both currently in the program and at different stages as well. So I'll just let you guys know where he's. So today we want to talk about addiction, the need for addiction recovery locally and across the country. We will hear stories from individuals who made the brave choice to face their past and do the hard work of recovery. We know that it's vitally important that we are available to all who need help. So how is substance abuse and addiction affecting Canadians? Well, I'm going to tell you some staggering statistics. Right now, the Canadian Mental Health Association reports that nearly 6 million Canadians will meet the criteria of addiction in their lifetime. So this is from 2017, but it's more research on my own, and it's now 12 million people. The state of addiction. So the cost of addiction affects every Canadian. The cost of substance abuse in our country, so again, this is in 2017, was reported to be $46 billion. So addiction touches the lives of most people today, either directly or indirectly. Maybe you're wondering what happens in someone's life that led them down a path of addiction. So what includes addictions? Again, these statistics that I would have normally on the board would help guide us toward that answer. So people who experience six or more adverse, okay, so next slide, keep going. Next slide. That's the $46 billion one. Next slide. Okay, there we go. Let me start that first. So while the statistics help guide us towards that answer, people who experience six or more serious adverse childhood experiences are 4,600% more likely to abuse substances. The reality is that sometimes those childhood experiences can be points of trauma. They affect individuals into adulthood, all becoming the foundation for unhealthy coping and numbing pain through drugs and alcohol. Some of those traumas can include abuse, neglect, witnessing violence, experiencing disasters, loss, other traumatic experiences such as bullying, community violence, exposure to conflict of war, or medical trauma. So you probably maybe know someone's gone through that. So who gets addicted? Next slide. So people of all ages from all walks of life, addiction does not discriminate. I have seen, you know, pastors who have become addicted. I've seen judges who become addicted, police officers. It doesn't matter who you are, what age you are. I've seen 11-year-olds using drugs. 11-year-olds using drugs. It does not discriminate. It doesn't matter where you're from. It is out there and it attacks everybody. Next slide, please. So our mission. Our mission is to demonstrate God's love by helping individuals become free from substance addiction and equipping them to live full and meaningful lives. So Teen Challenge isn't just about you come into a program, we spit a whole bunch of stuff at you, we send you out there. It's total holistic transformation, right? We have aftercare programs, we have extended length in the program. You know, we're connecting with these individuals, you know, 5-10 years afterwards. You know, just making sure that, hey, we're there to support you, encourage you, and help you through that. Some of the guys that have come through the program have become my friends, and I'm still walking with them, and they're walking with me on this journey that we're on, right? So it's full and meaningful lives afterwards. Actually, there was a study that was done by a secular organization because they were wondering how people were being transformed. So 80% of people who come into Teen Challenge, who graduate Teen Challenge, stay clean and sober for 5 years afterwards, and they're wondering how that happens. And one, it is the length. Yeah, the length does help, but it's the power of Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with Him, knowing Him, trusting in Him, relying on Him, and walking alongside Him each and every day. Next slide, please. So what is Teen Challenge? Some of you are familiar with our program and the work we do. So for those who may not know about us, Teen Challenge Canada offers a 12-month faith-based, in-residence, drug and alcohol recovery program for men and women ages 18 years of age or older. We offer help to those ready to make the commitment to a new and sober life. So some of those eligibility requirements, I started doing this because some people didn't know what our eligibility requirements are. So a big thing is life-controlling substance abuse or a dependency problem. So we're talking substance abuse, alcohol, drugs, huffing gas, glue, whatever the case may be, substances. A lot of people call us and say, hey, I got an addiction to just pornography or just gambling. We don't specifically deal with that, although it comes alongside with addictions as well. But if it's just that, that's not what we're our focus on. It's mainly substance abuse. Minimum of 18 years of age, there's no maximum age. A friend of mine who's still working with me, his name's Larry, he's in the intake as well. He came in the program at 67. He's now 75, no, 62. He's now 75. He was the oldest, and there's a gentleman who was 74 that came in the program and had graduated too. So as long as you're able to do the program, which I'll mention here as well, you gotta be committed to 12-month program, evidence of sincere desire for help, a willingness to consider a faith-based approach, because we're all about Jesus, ability to participate fully in regular physical activities. There's the kicker. If you can't do stairs, you're not able to do stuff that we need to have done around there, then they wouldn't qualify necessarily. We're unable to give them the help they require, right? So we would ask maybe, hey, let's look at other options, what they can do. Do not have severe or debilitating mental disorders. This one, I mean, if somebody is stable and able to do the program, we're willing to help them. You know, it gets to the point where they're just not able to function in society. That would be different because it's a very self-propelled program. Which I'll explain a little bit later as well. Do not have full-blown AIDS, cancer, or tuberculosis. We are not a medical facility, so we're not able to help support an individual in that situation. Do not have outstanding warrants. We will take people with criminal records. I know everything from manslaughter to like stealing a chocolate bar. I mean, we'll take people in. So it doesn't matter, you know, if it's in their past, it's in their past, right? Not on parole. If you have children, arrangements for the care while in the program and not prescribed certain psychotropic medications. Next slide, please. So we got some phases. So how the program works is you come in the program after you're done doing the intake, and your first 4 months is phase one. So you're getting inducted, and it's called induction, getting sober and physically healthy. So identifying those old pattern behaviors, old coping mechanisms, and starting to learn a new way of how to overcome them. And it can be scary this first 4 months. A lot of guys get pretty, because they're not used to having to deal or cope with things without their drugs or without acting in violence or running away from a situation. So phase two, that's month 5 to 8. So now you're getting your training, you're discovering your identity in Christ, you're building new ways of how to deal and cope with situations. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge. I tell this all the time because the guys in the program are the best thing about the program. But the worst thing about the program is also the guys, okay? Because they're going to challenge you. Everybody has a different personality. But I swear God designed this to be this way so that it brings up things that maybe you need to work on. Why am I getting angry at this? How do I handle this situation? You know, how do I become like, you know, feeling neglect or anxiety or whatever is going on in their life. So this is where you're really working on yourself and you're challenging yourself. Phase three is month 9 to 12. You're transitioning, so you're preparing to reconnect with family, plan where to live and work. Some guys, they're ready to get back out there, so it's like getting connected in the community. The Hosners are a family that are part of our aftercare program for the London area. And Zach Drew is for Saskatchewan, Alberta. And they help individuals get connected with churches, because we know after being with Teen Challenge, you still need more discipleship. Get connected with the churches, get a community, you know, get into Bible, Bible college if you need to go to Bible college. Getting that connection, work, housing, that's what they do, that's part of their thing. So helping them with that. And then if, let's say you're not ready. Sometimes guys aren't quite ready yet for the end, after 12 months, they need more time. You know, because you've been in addiction for quite a long time sometimes. And so there's still a lot of things that they need to work on, feeling more secure about themselves. So we have something called a phase four. Phase four, you move into a different department of the building, and then you work in a department at Teen Challenge. You get an honorarium of $400 a month. But you live on property, have accountability, still have counseling. It's just another stepping stone. Plus, you get a little bit more freedom. You're allowed to go out in the community, and you're allowed to interact that way. And, you know, say if you have struggles, you're able to come back to someone and say, hey, look, I was triggered by this. What do I need to do here? You know, or something does happen, we're here to help you and support you. And then we have phase five. So phase five hasn't been around for a bit now, about 9 years, I think, eight, nine years, something like that. So phase five is where we hire on an individual. So say there's a position available at Teen Challenge. We would hire you on, you get minimum wage. Some centers have staff housing where you can move into staff housing. It's pretty cheap, it's like $200 to $500 a month, everything included. And they would work in the department at Teen Challenge. They're fully staffed, but they have accountability still. They have access to counselors. It's another stepping stone to get help that they need. Okay, next slide, please. Our program is hard. A daily day is you're waking up at 6:30 in the morning. First thing we're doing is devotional reading, Bible reading, and prayer. Then we're having breakfast, and the days are broken up in two sections, two major sections. One is called PACE, Personal Academic Christian Education. You're in a classroom setting, you have assignments, you have tests, Bible memorization. Then you have specific contracts dealing with anxiety or depression or anger, what the Bible says about that, and how personal application, how you apply that to your everyday life. The other part of the program is called work therapy, so you're doing a job around the facility, whether it be janitorial, landscaping, could be office work, kitchen work, working in our VDP program, which is our vehicle donation program. You could be working at our thrift store. We do have a thrift store as well. It's getting back into work. Some of these guys have been out of work for such a long time, so it's just a feeling of accomplishment and being a part of a community. And then depending on any day of the week, we have Alpha, we have Celebrate Recovery, we have professional speakers, actors, choirs, live bands come in. We go out in the community, do ministry work, we do evangelism, we go speak in jails, we do have recreation nights, movie nights, Bible three times a week at the London Center, church three times a week at the London Center, and there's a plethora of other things too, but it's pretty busy. Your day is very scheduled and you're in bed by, you do dorm prayer at the end of the night, and then you're in bed by 9:30, so that's pretty big day. So yes, our program is hard. Next slide, please. Okay, so we're gonna have Clarence come up and tell his testimony, and we'll go from there. Good morning. I was just sitting here, a couple things. There's a lot of love in this building, a lot of tending and caring for God's creation. And I would imagine it's the same outside of here too, but it looks like people actually live in this building. It's awesome. I know I would if I had it. your pastor is praying for people, and I just want to read a verse from Genesis 1. I just recite it, but I don't want to get it wrong. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. I just want to ask the Lord to stretch out his mighty arm right now and touch these people that are ill, everyone here, and anyone that's in the hospital. And just heal them through his comfort, his mercy, and his grace for his children. In him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:15-17. My name is Clarence Catling. I was born February 1970 to my parents, Janice and Clarence. As well, I have two sisters. I grew up just outside of Sault Ste. Marie on a 5-acre farm across from a cemetery. I attended a public school of about 120 kids and a high school of 700. When I was 3 and 8, I was sexually abused by 2 different boys. I fell out of a moving car at age 3 as well. At 9 years of age, I was shot between the eyes with a pellet gun rifle. I almost died and spent 3 months in the hospital. Both my parents worked. My dad drove transport and my mom school bus. My dad was a drinker and very abusive, but always worked hard to provide for us. In my later teens, he was a changed man, a better man who I respected at the end of his life. He died 9 years ago. My mother has always been the rock and pillar in my life. She's the hardest working, most caring person I know. My one sister is 1.5 years younger and the other 8 years younger than I. We dealt with a lot of traumatic things growing up, but we had good times along with the bad. At 18, I quit school with 90s in all my classes due to my first girlfriend breaking up with me, and started working at a grocery store and then a bar, which started my drinking career that is finally over. At age 19, I married an older woman I met at the bar and had a beautiful daughter at age 20. Much problems ensued with overworking, over-drinking, and immaturity on my part. We separated and divorced by 1993, and after 4 years of marriage, upon separation, I went on a 9-month bender, burnt out from 2 jobs, late for work with warnings to be on time. I quit my jobs, moved to the city, couch bounced a bit, and started using mild drugs, which escalated to many more kinds over the years. Really, the only thing I had going for me was being a really disciplined, organized, and particular workaholic. I lived in the city for about 8 months before moving to the town of Thessalon, population 1,400, with a young woman I had met and spent the next 30 years there working, in and out of relationships, and for numerous years, and sometimes helping to raise children. But every relationship would end for one reason or another. Some because of being cheated on, but mostly because of drugs and alcohol on both our parts, or just plain toxicity. Then I met my ex-wife, as she is now since August 5th of this year. We were married in 2009 and altogether spent 10 years together. She's an amazing woman who loved me and I loved her. At age 40 years old, 2010, I gave my life to Jesus. Just before this, in 2007, I had quit using drugs, then alcohol, then cigarettes. I was, for the first time in my life, blessed and happy. I completely surrendered to Jesus and was growing in him and being used by him with Bible study, prayer meetings, a dinner every year in Jesus' name, and evangelizing everywhere I went.
I finally was led to a church I made my home. I should say we, as my ex-wife was a believer as well, but very shy, but she was with me by my side. We prayed together, studied together, and worked side by side. All the while visiting churches and believers as well, meeting prayer warriors everywhere we went, which interestingly enough, today the Lord is still introducing me to prayer warriors. All was good, but after 7 years at the Lord's feet, I was tempted by the enemy, and by the time I recognized I had an attraction for a woman in our church with a small boy, after seeking counsel from the elders and my life recovery group leader, I chose lust and pride and committed adultery against God and my wife. God tried to show me forgiveness, as he is faithful for sure, but Diane was willing to forgive and move on, but I was now broken, blind, and rejected it all, continuing in that extramarital relationship, which obviously didn't work out. But today I have a most handsome son, Elijah Robert Jeremiah, who is 8, and I gave him to the Lord for his purposes and glory. I asked God to take care of him because I knew that I was on a hard road and would not be able to be the proper dad to him I needed to be. So I took the hard road and went into self-destruct mode. I reverted back to old coping mechanisms of drugs, alcohol, and work to bury the pain. And I found myself in another relationship with a woman with much more brokenness and addiction than my own. And spending 4 years together, found myself selling off possessions and assets, having a truck repossessed, bankruptcy, which today still needs to be completed with no idea where I'm at with it, hanging myself and surviving, I know, by the Lord's hand. And then putting my house up for sale to cover the debt and start clean, I burned it down 13 days before the closing date, which was April 30th, 2022. And still that ride wasn't over. I was now a crack addict, ashamed, humiliated, guilty, and a mess. All the while, God was still working behind the scenes, presenting himself to me. Everyone was praying for me, worrying about me, and literally trying to protect me and help me. God kept showing me glimpses and reminding me who he is, but I knew I needed to forgive myself, but I just couldn't do it. Then my good friend Roger was instrumental in getting me clean for a while, and God began restoration on that lake and brought song, scripture, and fellowship back in my life, being surrounded by believers on the lake. And I was in contact with my son and his brother and mother again, and also was back in the church again after 9 years, but it was all short-lived as I relapsed and was hating myself again, wanting to die and be done with life. It was a battle in a vicious circle, and this time I applied to Teen Challenge of my own decision, being the third application. While waiting the 6 months, my mother, counselor, probation officer supported me, and my boss, Mike Tulloch, and co-workers as well as church members came alongside to help me. But my dear friend and sister in Christ, who I worked with, literally kept me alive to get to Teen Challenge. I thank her profusely today, over and over, and she just tells me God told her to. Thank you again, Jill, for what you did for me. I made it here in obedience to the Lord. I entered the doors October 29th, 2024, and every day has been a blessing and an honor to know I have been graced again by the Lord. I walked into the cafeteria, and it was like Paul when the scales fell off his eyes and he could see. The windows of heaven opened, and God poured his love and blessing into this vessel he created. And now upon graduation coming October 24th, I'm filled with the Spirit of God, the joy of the Lord, and the peace of God. He has been continuously restoring this sinner saved by his grace. He has provided a new job close to Teen Challenge, a brand new fully furnished apartment, and more. He has put a new song in my heart and a new love in my life. I am his. I belong to the Lord again. Excuse me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Teen Challenge. Thank you, John and Glenn. Thank you, all the sponsors that have sent me cards and letters and gifts along the way, who I haven't even met. Sorry. Thank you, everyone, for all that you've done. Thank you, brothers and sisters. God bless you all. Father, pour out your Spirit, your love, and your grace on everyone here. You are the everlasting, true, only living God. You are the God of reconciliation, and have given your children the ministry of reconciliation. Let us go and share the good news that God loves us and saves us through Jesus and bring hope to the world. So today, I wrote this last little section. The Son has set me free, and I shall be free indeed. For freedom, Christ has set me free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled again in a yoke of slavery. That's one of my favorite verses today. God has done this. By his divine power, he has granted to me all things that pertain to life and godliness. God himself has restored, established, strengthened, and settled me. The Lord God himself has given me the power to become a child of God and a joint heir with his Son. Jesus is not only my Savior and Lord, he is my King and High Priest. He is my friend. He is my God. Thank you, Lord, for your plan of salvation, for your love, for redemption, for eternal life. Thank you that by your strength and by the power of Holy Spirit, my counselor, teacher, comforter, and the one who teaches me all the ways of God, I may walk on the path of righteousness in freedom to my eternal home and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Make all things new. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day of salvation. It is the only day we are promised. And this is what Jesus has done for me. I live one breath at a time to bring God glory. Help me, Father. Surround me with your presence and fill me with your Spirit. May the light of Christ fill me to the point of continually being dressed with the armor of light, the armor of God. As I abide in you, you will abide in me. Your word says to put off or cast off the works of darkness. We are to cast our anxieties upon you, for you care for us. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And in learning from him, we will have rest for our souls. Trusting and acknowledging the Lord will bring healing for the flesh and refreshment for the bones. A person is given new life, being born again and united with the Lord in a perfect relationship upon faith. And so much more when you come back to the simple realization that God created all things for his purpose and glory. And he created us, you and me, in his image to fellowship with him. To be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God is love, and we are image bearers of love. Today, in Christ, we are more than conquerors. Perfect love casts out fear, and we are not given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. In this is love, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. This is what Jesus did for me, that I may be saved. And I am saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Today Jesus lives, and because he lives, I live. And because he is seated at the right hand of God, he lives to intercede for me daily. He is preparing a room for me and will return to take me home. Until that day comes, by the power and authority he has given me as a disciple, I keep speaking Jesus in the darkness, submitting to the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, pulling down and binding up strongholds of the enemy, interceding and praying for others. The armor of God is Jesus, peace, truth, righteousness, salvation, faith, the Word of God, praying in the Spirit, standing fast and immovable, persevering and running the race set before me, pushing back darkness, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching others to observe as Jesus taught, and walk in the light by the Spirit as a child of light, being a living example of Christ to the world, praising my Savior all the day long. And as a man of God wrote in a song long ago, stand up, ye soldiers of the cross. Stand up, Christian soldiers. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Sing it out until the whole world hears. Sing praises to your God and King. Sing praises to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise Jesus. Amen. Woo! While I'm here, I'd just like to share a friend, an Amish friend of mine that lives north. Him and his family told me to come from Chesley, and his name is Daniel Zook. And I wrote them a personal letter of encouragement and testimony for them because they've known me for a lot of years. And I'm hoping to drop it somewhere today. I don't know where, but maybe someone knows them. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. Next slide, please.
Okay, so you can see our program works. It transforms lives, changes. So it's what better place to come to, right? Next slide, please. Okay, so you're probably thinking, Derek, how do I get someone into this? How does this all work? Well, easy as 1-2-3. So
you're just going to apply online, because if you call me, I'm going to tell you the same thing anyway. So just apply online, okay? It's at teenchallenge.ca. Click on Get Help. Click on Online Application, right? And then they fill in the information that's required, and then you send it off. Within 3 to 4 business days, someone's going to get back to you with the next steps. And that's a bit of back and forth. Or do you need a medical, probably criminal record check, or a self-evaluation criminal record check, and a couple few other things, release of information, that kind of wonderful stuff. The program does cost $1,100 for the whole year, plus an emergency fare in case of event that someone needs to go home for emergency reasons, or was discharged from the program. We always make sure they have that, right? Especially if they go out of province, this is definite. It has to be there for sure. We're not all about the money. It does help make the program work, but if somebody can't raise the funds to come in the program, I should say, we can work something out, either half price. Sometimes we can do it for free. It just depends on the situation, because people like yourselves make donations and say, here's $1,100 for somebody to come in the program, right? So that helps pay for that individual program. So if you know somebody is worried about the finances, tell them not to worry. Just come talk to me or Larry or Alicia. It's in the intake office. So speak to one of us and then enter the program. Next slide, please. So there's 8 centers. The new one hasn't been built yet. So we used to have one up at Sault Ste. Marie. We have closed it because it was always meant to be in Sudbury. Sudbury was the main hub. It's a bigger city. It's easier for us to do these type of outreaches. Like, we drive up here about 2 hours about here to get here. If we have a team that's in Sault Ste. Marie, it's 9 hours to North Bay, right? So the idea would be to have the hub in Sudbury. It's a lot easier, plus it's a bigger city, and they are definitely desperate need. But the other centers all across Canada, we have Alberta, we have Saskatchewan, both male and female in Saskatchewan, Ontario, both men and women in Ontario. Aurora, King City is where the female is. We have one in Renfrew right now for men, and one in London, excuse me. And then we have one in New Brunswick. And then we have, that's for men, and then another female out in PEI. So it's a small program, but it is out there, sure. So the hope is, we'll eventually build a new one out in Sudbury. I know we're fundraising for that right now as well. We have started something else too. We have something called the ARO office. What the ARO office is the addiction, oh geez, I forgot it. It always happens when you're up front, eh? Addiction recovery office. So basically what we're doing is we're on the ground floor now. Teen Challenge normally wouldn't be on the ground floor except for the evangelism that we do, or ministry work that we do. People like yourselves or community support workers, social workers, addiction workers, would refer these individuals to our program. Now we're on the ground floor helping those individuals who are in active addiction, especially the ones on the streets. It's a challenge to get through all the heat, all the hoops that you have to go through to get into a program. And then it's not only ours, but any other program, you'd have to do a lot. So it's nice to have someone there helping you to get through it and make the process a lot quicker. So we started that, and we want to do, I think their plan is 30 across Canada. So it'd be nice, these little offices where you could just bring someone in and say, hey, here you go, this individual's needing help. How do we do that? So, next slide, please. Okay, so I know it's going to be hard to believe that this 400 pounds of twisted steel and Jesus appeal man up front here had ever gotten in trouble with drugs or alcohol, but I too, myself, have been down that road, so I will tell you my testimony today. So as you all know, I'm Derek, and yes, I am one of the National Intake Coordinators. And I would say that God has walked with me since the beginning of my life. He was there when I went to Faith Base Day Camps, and when a big white bus from the Baptist Church would pick up all the neighborhood kids. I had given my life to the Lord then. However, life changed. Sin and darkness entered. I had an absentee father and an abusive stepfather. And at the age of 11, a stranger sexually assaulted me, and now, having a distorted awareness, I'm not feeling I belonged or loved. I ran away from home and committed an armed robbery at the age of 12. Even though God was with me, the Word and the Spirit of the Lord laid uncultivated, without deep roots, and so the persuasive, destructive illusions of the world directed me to follow a different master. I was lost for 17 years. I struggled with addictions to crack and crystal meth, using needles and sleeping on the streets. And to support that habit, I was living a criminal lifestyle. I had been so deeply entrenched in the deception that it became my norm, yet all the while total chaos, pain, and confusion surrounded me. Psychosis was a daily event. One evening, in a paranoid delusion, I descended into the sewer system through a manhole cover and slid into darkness. Thankfully, I was able to get out the next morning and was taken to the hospital. Even after hitting this rock bottom, the fierce and overpowering grip of addiction found me still defenseless, and I left the hospital in search of more drugs, only to end up in jail. Throughout all this, I had cried out to the Lord. I was broken and tired of running. I needed to find a new way. I remembered what I had learned and seen from my days in the church, the programs, the preaching, and how people spoke about the joy, freedom, and love they had in Christ. I wanted this. I wanted the freedom, and I wanted to know love and my place in this world. I started to seek God, wanting a deeper, real relationship with Him. I found a program while in jail and was released to Teen Challenge. There, I was given the opportunity to seek the Lord. God used Teen Challenge as a vessel to have a head-on collision with Him. Now, I remember a specific moment where everything had changed. I had graduated Teen Challenge and was now working for them as a Phase 5. Actually, I was the first Phase 5 to ever do it. I was home alone watching a video about smuggling money, but it led to another video about meth. In that moment, I heard a familiar, tempting voice. "You're okay. It's fine. You can watch this now." I knew this was an enemy of my old life, a clear warning. I continued to watch, and again it spoke. "This is interesting and educational." The voice was now the chief noise in my head. It was soft but twisted, inviting but blurred, and as I thought on the possibilities of using, my flesh flared. Butterflies, they call it, uneasiness, anxiousness, goosebumps, mixing my thoughts and memories with feelings, convincing my mind this is where I want to be. It seemed the battle was won, dead set, I gotta get my fix. I thought the how and when, walking through the plans, making sure there was no mistake. And the voice again reinforcing as to give it one last push off the edge. "Nobody will know. You have time. Keep it a secret." Darkness again gained mastery over me. The fear, sadness, emptiness returning, losing all hope. But God was with me, because I had learned to spend time in His Word and in prayer while at Teen Challenge. I had gained insight and understanding. With God and His Word written on my heart, I became aware of a small, comforting voice. And as I listened, His voice became more prominent. I cried out in desperation, "Jesus, save me." I broke out in tears and I covered my face and thought, "How could I ever do this to you?" The mighty voice spoke, "I forgive you." Still an emotional moment for me. As the tears flowed, a power filled with love and clarity infused up inside of me until overflowing out into spoken word, "I am a child of God." The evil one fleeing my presence. Jesus is the Lord. My life has been different ever since that day. I no longer need to seek drugs as a source of enjoyment, acceptance, numbing, and thrill. God showed me my potential and the plans and purpose for my life. I learned that I would never know true freedom until I had a real relationship with Jesus. So two Bible verses that helped me along my way was Psalms 107:19-20. "You were in serious trouble, but you prayed to the Lord and He rescued you. By the power of His own word, He healed you and saved you from destruction." And my other one is Galatians 2:20. "I've been nailed to the cross with Christ. I've died, but Christ lives in me. And I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me." Now I stand here today. Got 10 years clean, 10 years today. And another big thing, he says, thank you. Thank you. Another big thing, at the end it says, "What does Teen Challenge mean to me?" I'll just get it out now, without hopefully crying, a big sad, don't tell anybody. So 15 years, I have not spoken to my daughter, and I now am on the phone with her every day. So that's what Teen Challenge does. Next slide, please. So you're wondering how you get involved with us. Okay, there's a couple things. Participate and volunteer. I know you're a little ways away. However, once a month, you could come on down and see us. You could come do some volunteer work if you wish. be a mentor. We're always looking for mentors for the guys. You know, somebody who's walked the walk and is living their life out in fellowship with Christ. So, you know, I mean, you might be good with finances. You might be good with dating, information or relationships. You might be good with that kind of stuff. You might be good with just, you know, getting out in the community, being a minister, doing ministry, or working like that. The men need to see these things. The men need to know what it's like living outside, because some of them never experienced this before. So you could come up, and women go to the Women's Center too as well, by the way. So they do that. Or if you like to bake cookies, come on down. The guys would definitely love you to come on down. If you'd like to bake cookies once a month, I'm just bitching it out there. And it has nothing to do with me being a bigger guy. So you can also give a one-time gift. You know, if you want, you can give a one-time gift, or you can be a recurring gift, the sponsorship. So there's a program called The Journey. You would get updates, 8 months, 6 month updates about the individual that you're sponsoring, how well they're doing in the program. You know, when their graduation, you can actually come to a graduation, support them, and hear their, do their testimonies like that. See the families and all, you know, that stuff as well. So, and then the biggest thing, prayer. I can't emphasize this enough. Prayer is massive. I see things happen all the time. Like one of our things that I would like you to pray for is definitely for our kitchen and for donations. It's always been a struggle because most of our food comes from donations. And so, I see it all the time. They pray for stuff sometimes in the morning, all of a sudden that thing's there that night. It's amazing how fast God works too. So, but yeah, if you know anybody or who wants to donate that way too as well, they can donate, you know, pig farmer, you know, cow farmer, if they want to donate a cow or two, whatever. You know, definitely do that, but definitely pray for that would happen as well. Next slide, please. That's the journey like I was talking about. And next slide. So we do have annual events. You know, we do the big fundraisers, the gala. If you'd like to dress up, like to have a nice dinner, you know, like to see the choir maybe sing, some bigger speakers come out, you know, the director, the CEO of Teen Challenge come out, that kind of stuff. You can come out for a gala. There's also golfing, if you love golfing, and maybe some golfers here. We do little tournaments that have fundraising tournaments. For golfing, we also do runs, but I think that's more out east. I'm not 100% sure. And then we do motorcycle rides. I don't know any more motorcycle. Oh, okay, here we go, John. Hey, okay, only one. So, John, I'm gonna speak to you. If you want to come out for a motorcycle ride, come on out. We do that annually as well. So, next slide, please. And as you know, Teen Challenge means to me, it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. And these two gentlemen can attest to that too. Actually, everybody who comes through there and graduates can tell you it's the best thing that's ever happened to them. So. Next slide, please. So that is, folks. Thank you again for having us today. Please come back and talk to us at the table. We're not shy. Really come talk to Victor, because we try and get him out of his comfort zone. And Clarence loves to pray. So if you need prayer, definitely come to Clarence. He's big on that as well. So thank you, everyone. Have a good day. Woo!